Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a magical Monday edition. Rolling into the happier happy hour. Dom, tomorrow we mark the glorious return to the airwaves of our good friend, Matt Flynn. Matt Flynn Direct. Well, technically, his show will launch again on Wednesday. But we're having Matt Flynn on our big show tomorrow about 4:30. And today, nice. We got a podcaster. We got a pundit. We got a friend of ours. He is Bill Press. Bill, welcome back.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Dom. Hi. Yeah. And hello, Crute.
Well, I'm glad you at least acknowledged me, Bill. I said nice things about you, Bill.
And good to celebrate together, huh?
Yes.
Well, Bill, you don't want to come to Wisconsin right now, man. It's turning cold. We are turning seasons.
I don't want to come to Wisconsin for another reason. I don't want to get anywhere close to, I mean, one of the big disappointments. Let's face it, there's a lot to celebrate, but yeah. Jesus, having Ron Johnson back in Washington, God. Yeah, it's like getting COVID for the fifth time, you know.
I think Ron's only had it four times.
We're sorry, Bill.
It was one of the big disappointments, and it's fortunately, we're going to win Georgia, which means we're not going to have to put up with Ron Johnson's not going to be leading any investigations, right? He'll be neutered, but even the fact that he's breathing the same air as I am in Washington is pretty disgusting. So, sorry, Wisconsin, I wish you'd done better on that one. Yeah.
Well, Bill,
all we can do is try, man.
Wisconsin,
but listen, otherwise, man, so much good news to celebrate. It's hard to know where to start. I mean, we just wiped them out. And we talked about this. I was a lot more optimistic than most people were. I didn't believe the damn polls. I didn't believe what the media was saying about this red wave was based on absolutely nothing. And, you know, the MAGA Republicans have egg on their face. So do the pollsters. And so do most of our friends in the media. They just bought that Republican propaganda hook, line, and sinker. And it pissed me off. Well, still pisses me off.
Well, I don't mean to make you angry, Bill, but I would tell you, if you saw it coming, I wouldn't have seen a split ticket decision in the state of Wisconsin. Tony Evers, the Democratic incumbent governor, returns with 89,000 more votes than his sort of extremist opponent. And I can believe he won that race. I mean, Michaels, the opponent, was an extremist, a carpetbagger, not much good to say about him. But Ron Johnson's an insurrectionist, and Ron Johnson went against one of the most dynamic Democratic politicians in our state. I would have thought that Mandela Barnes, as lieutenant governor, had lifted Evers' candidacy, and when it came time, and I was very nervous that Mandela wouldn't make it through the primary, and we wouldn't turn out black voters in Milwaukee. Well, Bill, as I'm starting to dig in, they didn't turn out black voters in Milwaukee. They didn't do it. The only reason the closeness of the race really is we're starting to see some changes in the exurbs of Milwaukee. Some of the out counties are turning just a little bluer. And of course, where I live, Bill, I live in the most liberal, beautiful place in the world in Madison, Wisconsin. Other than the winters, it's beautiful here, Bill. But we continue to turn them out at presidential levels, even in the midterms. You're welcome, Tony Evers. But 27,000 votes, and, you know, we're back with Ron Johnson, an insurrectionist, Bill. I thought I thought being an insurrectionist, or at least willing to transmit the false Trump electors, I thought that was sort of a deal killer for Wisconsin voters, but apparently not.
Well, yeah, I don't understand, but I was so glad to see Tony Evers get reelected, because it's so important with that legislature you've got to have a Democratic governor. It's the only thing between, you know, insanity and reality, I think. Look, split tickets. There are a lot of split ticketers. Look at what happened in Georgia, right? I mean, there were 140. I heard these numbers today. There are 140,000 people who voted for Brian Kemp for governor, did not vote for Herschel Walker for senator. 140,000. There were 60,000 who voted for Brian Kemp for governor and did not vote for U.S. senator, right? A lot of those other people voted for Raphael Warnock. So it's sort of we haven't seen the split ticket really for a long time. It's sort of like, you know, some animal that we thought was extinct suddenly showed up again, right? Like the ivory-billed woodpecker or something. But look, Wisconsin was a disappointment. Texas was a disappointment. Georgia was, particularly Ohio for me. I thought Tim Ryan ran the best race in the country, and his message was absolutely right on target. But the fact that we defied history, defied gravity, held on to the Senate, looks like we're going to win Georgia, pick up a seat actually in the Senate, and scare the bejesus out of the Republicans in the House. You know, we could still maybe take the House, but probably we're going to be like maybe 5 behind in the House. And that's going to be chaos on the Republican side. I've said this before on your show. I'm going to say it again tonight. Kevin McCarthy will never be Speaker of the House of Representatives.
Oh, really?
No. They
put Bill down for that.
The knives are out for Kevin McCarthy. He may get the Republican caucus, maybe. But he still needs 218 votes. And he doesn't have them right now. And I don't think, unless some Democrats vote for him, he would ever be elected as Speaker, and he's not going to get any Democratic votes. I just say he's weak, he's feckless, he's ignorant. Nobody likes him, you know? He's been working at it for so long. And my Kevin, you know, the first one to throw him under the bus will be Donald Trump. If he doesn't endorse Donald Trump by tomorrow night, 2024, Donald Trump will turn the MAGA Republicans against my Kevin.
Well, our Bill Press, our fine guest, friend of the Devil's Advocates, we'd like to think. Bill, if Kevin McCarthy is the caucus leader, or perhaps even Speaker, and you're wrong for a rare occasion, it would happen in part because the third congressional seat in the state of Wisconsin, a 24-year blue seat, went to another insurrectionist. The Democrats, as near as I can tell, didn't even compete in what electorally should be a competitive first CD. Brian Style is, you know, he's a sophomore Republican, and it's a more competitive seat, and we didn't really compete. So, Bill, I feel like the you know, maybe it ain't the local Democratic Party, but the DCCC left Wisconsin hanging out to dry, and if we come up a seat or two short, it's no thanks to national House leadership.
No, look, I hear you, but the fact that Kevin McCarthy said they were going to win 60 seats, right? That they were going to wipe us out, and the fact that Democrats will end up with over 200, probably 212, 213, you got to say that's a pretty good night for the DCCC. But I think where the DCCC really screwed up, with all due respect, I'm sorry about that one seat in Wisconsin, it was New York State, of all states. New York State. They lost 4 seats, including, of course, the guy who was in charge of winning back, of holding on to the House, Sean Patrick Maloney. If it had not been for New York State, Democrats would still be in control of the House of Representatives. There'd be no doubt about it.
That hurts even more than Wisconsin, Bill. Bill Press, podcaster, pundit, our friend.
Yeah. Let's not focus on the bad news. The good
news. Right. Yes.
How well we did with governors, with U.S. senators, and with the House, and with the abortion, anti-abortion initiative, or the pro-life initiatives. Pro-choice initiatives around the country. There was a lot of good. There is a lot of good news to celebrate.
Bill, I just want to confirm you're going to stick around after through the break for another segment, right till the bottom of the hour. We're good there. Because I got
for me, I don't know.
All right, yeah, man. We will hang out with Bill Press. Hey, listen, I think I know who to thank for this. 72% of women, 18 to 29, voted Democratic. Yeah. I mean, when I look at if you just step back from all the shenanigans here in the last several years, it just seems like if you see what's happened, see how Trump and the Republicans and all the inputs, I'm not surprised of the outputs. He lost the Senate, lost the House, lost the White House, lost the midterms. I'm saying it's a loss. I mean, it wasn't as bad as it certainly could have been for the Dems. Could have been better, but historically should have been so much worse. And thankfully, 72% of women, 18 to 29, came out. Of course, Roe v. Wade, of course that was going to be an issue, a big deal. So kudos to them. But Bill, who's to blame on the Republican side? I mean, I think this party's in disarray. Who's to blame? Who is responsible for the lack of victory on the Republican side, in your opinion?
Well, first of all, I want to join you in saluting young women, single women. Remember, Republicans are blaming single women for voting Democratic. Well, of course they did, because the Republican Party has declared war on single women, war on all women. Salute women and salute young voters.
Yeah.
I mean, they defied expectations too, right? Nobody said they don't care. You know, they've given up. We're not talking about their issues. They were concerned about abortion was a big one. Guns was a big one for young people. And democracy was. They saw their rights slipping away. Your question, who's responsible? One guy, Donald Trump. Donald Trump. He's the one who saddled the Republican Party with this slate of embarrassing, unqualified, unfit clowns for governor, for Senate, for House, and for Secretary of State. And he basically lost them all. And then he made the whole race about himself by saying, I'm going to run in 2024. No, I mean, the Republicans ought to turn against him 100% and just throw him out of the party, but they're not going to. Let's talk about that when we come back.
Yes. Bill Press, we will talk about that. My understanding, Donald Trump makes a presidential announcement for Mar-a-Lago tomorrow night. We'll talk all about it on Wednesday, but we'll talk more with Bill Press on the other side. The happy hour rolls on.
Keep up the fight for freedom, man.
My party is going bat crazy.
The Devil's Advocates, making radio great again.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Our pal, Bill Press, you can find him on Twitter at Bill Press Pod. Sticking around for one more segment, Bill. Thank you for doing so. Great to talk with you again, man. I really wanted to get your take. You've been around a lot of elections, young man. I appreciate you joining us and talking about it. As you said before we went to break, Donald Trump is really the one to blame for this. And I agree. But certainly he's had the sycophants and the enablers and all those who around him who, when he peaked, boy, he won the presidency. They all glommed on him. Now they're kind of paying the price. And as we see, as mentioned, losing the Senate and the House and the White House and now the midterms, he's going to, what, come out tomorrow, apparently, and claim that he is running for president. Bill, number one, do you think he's going to actually run for president? Do you think his name will be on the ballot? And how does this impact the Republican Party, in your opinion, sir?
Ha-ha. Well, first of all, yes, he's going to announce tomorrow. He's already invited hundreds of people to Mar-a-Lago. He planned to do that because he was going to ride the huge red wave, right? Yeah. The red whiff.
The red wedding?
Yeah. Yeah. He was going to ride that, but as he said ahead of time, I think the night before the election, if we do well, I get all the credit. If we don't do well, I shouldn't get any of the blame, right? So this is the plan. As to whether or not his name is going to be on the ballot, that I would not guarantee. But he's going to run. Let me tell you, he's going to announce tomorrow. To me, it's the best thing that could possibly happen to the Democratic Party, and the best thing that could worst thing that could possibly happen to the Republican Party, right? Because think about it. Republicans are going to be boxed in with him for the next 2 years, and there's only going to be one issue. It's not going to be nothing about policy, right? Nothing about what are they going to do about climate change or education or, you know, gun control or anything, right? It's all going to be about, do you support Donald Trump's big lie that the election was stolen from him in 2020? That's all he talks about. That it's this whole issue. It's going to be all about him. And every Republican is going to have to either be agree, right? Yes, 2020 was stolen, or Donald Trump is going to attack them, insult them, run people against them. And it's going to be internal warfare in the Republican Party. This, and by the way, doing this tomorrow in the middle of the Georgia runoff, right, or the beginning of the Georgia, is again the worst thing that Republicans need, because again, it's not going to be about Herschel Walker. It's going to be about, he'll make it about himself. You know, I hear people saying, you think Donald Trump will come in to campaign for Herschel? Do you think they can stop him?
Bill Press.
He'll fly in and hold one of his phony rallies and talk about himself. He'll forget why he's there, right? Just to talk about himself. It is idiotic. Now, let me say one other thing. So people are saying, oh, Republican Party, this is it. This is it. You know, he forced us to lose the Senate, lose the House, maybe lose all these governorships, lose all these Secretary of State. This is it. Now the Republicans are going to break with Donald Trump. No, they're not. They can't do it. They won't do it. We've heard this. We've seen this movie before, right? He slammed John McCain when he's a candidate. Everybody said, oh, that's it. That's it. No, it wasn't. Right. The Access Hollywood tape. Oh, that's it. That's it for Donald Trump. No, they didn't. He sent an armed mob to attack the United States Capitol and the vice president of the United States. And he's like, oh, this is it, man. This is, we got it. Run from Donald Trump. Some of them said that for a couple of days, maybe 5 minutes. Then they've crawled back to kiss his ass, right? Same thing now. Yeah, some Republicans are saying, we got to break with Trump now. They won't do it. Kevin McCarthy won't do it. Mitch McConnell won't do it. Anybody doing any sense would, but most of them don't have any sense. So 40% of the electorate will stay with Donald Trump. And you think 2022 was a big wipeout? 2024 is going to be end of the road, Toad, for a lot of these guys.
Bill Press, quickly, can Herschel Walker possibly survive without Brian Kemp on the ballot? In a special election, it's dead Herschel Walker walking, isn't it? At least in electorally. You know what I'm saying, Bill.
In my judgment, he will not, cannot survive, right? For a couple of reasons. You mentioned number one, and I gave the numbers earlier, right? There's a 200,000 people voted for Brian Kemp, did not vote for Herschel Walker, right? That's a big enthusiasm gap, if you will. Meaning what that means, translate, Republicans came out, they didn't come out to vote for Herschel Walker. They came out to vote for Brian Kemp. If Kemp's not on the ballot, there's no reason for them to come out anyhow, particularly now that the Senate is settled. There's no reason to come out. There's a good reason for Democrats to come out, because it gives Democrats the power, having 51, to fully to staff. Every committee can be chaired by a Democrat. You don't have to have 50-50 Republicans. But there's no incentive for Republicans. And then again, add Donald Trump to it. Goodbye, Herschel.
Bill, let me ask you. I know you were a party guy in California, Democratic politics. Iowa caucuses. The Democrats have hated the Iowa caucuses, can't get the results accurately, whatever the case may be. They've threatened to move away from Iowa, but the Republicans are going to Iowa. And for the Democrats to move to a different state, I guess perhaps Michigan, the best target-rich environment, in that they've turned their legislature blue, there's a chance that the blue, now blue Michigan would want to go first in the elective cycle. But, Bill, could you see sort of disjoining these two parties in the presidential cycle? Can you see the Republicans doing Iowa and the Dems doing somewhere else?
Let me just say this. When I was Democratic chair, I was a member of the Democratic National Committee, and I voted to end the caucuses in Iowa. I think they're undemocratic, unrepresentative. I'd like to see them go to Michigan. If I were there now, that's what I'd vote for. I don't know whether they will or not, but enough with Iowa, enough with New Hampshire. Forget them. They don't represent all of America.
Well, Bill, you know what they got in Michigan? Legal cannabis.
Legal weed, baby.
We would find our way to go cover.
Oh, yeah.
One more good reason to be there.
It's not here, though. Bill, I got to drive 45 minutes to Illinois, and, you know, it's kind of sad, but I do it. Bill Press, always worth the wait. Bill, thanks for coming around, man. We'll talk to you real soon, I suspect.
Thanks, good news, Bill. Guys.
More Devil's Advocates, the happier, happy hour. Your phone calls are next. 844-96-PARTY.
Warning, listening to the Devil's Advocates may expose you to opposing views.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling through the happier 5 o'clock happy hour, the Monday style. Bill Press, you know, he exposes, you know, there. We love Bill Press. We agree with Bill Press. There's no opposing views there.
Bill is the coolest cat, man. Love Bill Press.
Bill Press sees it as a glorious Democratic victory, and I would draw a couple of distinctions. You know this, Tom. Ron Johnson returning to the U.S. Senate. Of course, Derek Van Orden here in the state of Wisconsin. The fact that we, this great state, my beloved state, elected two known insurrectionists to the Congress is really quite bothersome to me. So I'm sorry if I'm not celebrating, Dom.
I know. And listen, I get it. And it could always be better, man. Yes. But come on.
It could have been a lot worse.
Oh, my God. Yes. I mean, and what is this? And now we got what? Now we got a battle on the Republican side. They're in disarray. Or, you know, Trump's going to come out and announce what? Tomorrow? Oh, that's going to go over well. I mean, if they don't exercise, the Republican Party, the MAGAs don't exercise themselves from Trump or Trump from them, however they are connected, I mean, you think 2024 is going to be a bloodbath, you know, electorally speaking.
Good.
Yeah, I don't know, but that's great. So, and I like Bill's perspective. Yes, Donald Trump, it's a great thing for the Democratic Party. It's a terrible thing for the Republican Party. But here's my other concern. It's a terrible thing for the country. You know what I mean? That is
created by Trump's grabbing up the headlines.
Come on, man. You know, that is what it is. And what do our adversaries want? Chaos, man. It doesn't matter right, left, middle. It's chaos. And Donald Trump is the chaos bringer. So I'm hoping we're a little more callous to it, a little more numb to it now. You know, tomorrow night, if Donald Trump announces a run for the presidency, are the broadcast stations going to carry it?
Not in the same.
Good.
Fox News, maybe, but even News has had it.
But that's different. That's different from when he announced last time.
Newsmax,
right? It's different, though. That's different. He will not get the coverage that he did in 2015.
Dom, I'll be watching or listening to the Badger game right here on Civic Media. We will not be playing out the Trump announcement. 844-967-2789. Tom from McFarland. Welcome, Tom. What do you got for us?
Hi, Tom.
Hello, guys. Thanks for taking my call. And, you know, I actually think this is going to be an amazing 2 years for the Democratic Party for the simple reason that come 2024, the American public are going to have two views as far as how we govern. There's going to be the Democrats in the Senate, and there's going to be the Republicans in the House.
Yeah.
And the House is going to have the slightest of majorities for the Republicans. And we've seen how the Republicans, they cannot have policy or govern worth nothing. You're going to have the clicktivists like Boebert and Goetz, who are going to be all about getting as many clicks and likes and playing up for the limelight. They're not going to be interested at all in policy, and they're going to put forth the most crazy bills that are possible. And with that majority that they have, it's going to be next to impossible for the Republicans to get absolutely anything of substance passed, because the majority of their caucus doesn't want to have anything of substance passed. They want to make this a clown show. So the American public are going to see, here's how the Democrats govern, here's how the Republicans govern.
But
and
Tom,
it's
I'm
going
not,
to be a rather stark point.
I think you make a fairly good point, Tom, but here's what I would say. they've always governed like that. Maybe it's gotten a little bit worse. I agree on the Marjorie Taylor Greens and the Matt Gaetzes, those seeking clicks over even constituent votes. I get that part, Tom. But I'm telling you what, I don't think the and I don't mean to deride our fellow men and women out there across the country, Tom. You were obviously educating yourself, staying civically engaged. Most people don't.
Yes,
most right. People don't understand the interplay. Most people blame it on whoever's in power. And the only reason the Democrats, Tom, to my humble opinion, and thank you for your call, sir, the only reason they preserve their narrow majorities is not governance. They didn't even know how to tell the American people what they had done for them. Maybe if they'd have tooted their own horns, talked about the American Rescue Plan and the infrastructure deal and everything else, talked about how they're trying to help the economy for the American people, but they didn't talk about any of those things. That's not what propelled them.
Are you kidding me? No, yes, they did.
It was all about Roe. It was all about young women saving our asses.
Well, and they certainly didn't thank you for that. But, I mean, Biden was out there specifically talking about that. He had an address to the nation on democracy, and he listed the items. I mean, it was discussed, and I agree with you.
And that's what turned out young women, those economic issues laid out by the 80-year-old president.
But that's the point, right? If the young women showed up, and thankfully they did, 72% of women 18 to 29 voted for Democrats. And if Roe brought them out, great. And if that was the hook for the engagement, okay. But we're not, I mean, it's not a war. It's not a battle. It's a war. It continues on. It's a self-governance thing. It never really ends. So hopefully that engagement was the hook for them, and they will stay engaged. And hopefully we'll get some, assault weapons, gun safety, and that'll hook some other people. And you hook. And ultimately, I think the point is to keep them engaged, to make them understand that this is not a game. It's not something you tune into every season. It continues on. As much as I could, you know me, man, as much as I want to say, all right, we voted, that election is done, and this is how it was years ago, and we'll just forget about it for another 6 months or another couple of years.
Yeah,
that's not the case. As soon as you stop working at it, as soon as you take a nap, as soon as your eyes and your gaze averts, the Republicans are always pushing.
Well, no doubt, Tom, but the very same ruling, the Supreme Court ruling, the Dobbs ruling, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, that energized women, right? But it energized women. But the electoral slight majority in the Senate and the probable minority in the U.S. House does not give them any ability to restore those rights. That's what's going to happen. Those 72% of these young Gen Z voters that showed up, they voted, they said, damn it, give us back our rights. And guess what? The Democrats have no way of delivering that. Zero way. So 2 years from now, in the presidential election, are they going to be just as engaged and said, well, it's not really the Democrats' fault. It's the structural makeup of the intransigence of the Republicans. Let's punish the Republicans and give them, the Dems, a larger governing majority. You would hope so. You would hope if we keep telling the truth long enough, Dom, that people are going to start catching on.
Yes,
but that's
will.
Not usually the way it goes. They become disaffected when governance does not deliver for them. And I would say somewhere along the line, we've got to acknowledge the fact black voters did not turn out in Milwaukee. They have not turned out in the state of Wisconsin for Democrats in a sufficient number in a long time. It's not that they're turning out for Republicans. It's they stop seeing the Democrats delivering for them. That's my fear. This selective cycle, it was young women. Well, we don't deliver reproductive rights for them. And how is that going to happen? Not here in Wisconsin. We're still going to have an abortion.
That's all about how you message it and how you talk about it, man. I mean, it took 50 years for the Republicans to lay down their groundwork to rip this away. You think you're going to get it done in one election cycle? Look, that's why it's constant engagement. And that's why a show like ours, a network like this, will be helpful in the long run, because it's not just about one election and one cycle.
Man, I've been kicking your ass on the radio every day for like 11 years.
Yeah, bring it, baby.
844. It's already been brought. 967-2789, I believe. Ross from Middleton, you're next. Welcome, Ross. What do you got for us?
Hi, Ross.
Hey, you guys. Nice interview with Bill. It's always nice to hear Bill's voice.
Yeah.
Playing off Tom, just a quick comment on Tom. I mean, I think he's generally right, but I think people don't pay attention to Congress they just sort of lick their finger and stick it up in the air, and they sort of say, which way is the wind blowing? So I'm hoping that, I'm thinking that if this inflation thing gets under, sort of improves, that in 2 years, presidentially, I think the Democrats could be looking really good. And then with regarding to the abortion thing, I think that, like, I mean, it's the main explanation for why the Democrats didn't sort of, excuse me, why the Republicans didn't have the big red wave, like sort of the normal political sort of process, unless we're living in a whole separate universe where those old rules don't follow. It seems like it was the democracy issue, yeah, maybe, but I'm thinking it's the abortion issue is what got people out and would sort of change the dynamics in this particular race. And I'm thinking now that this Dobbs case might be, like for the Republicans, or Roe was, this may be the gift that keeps on giving. That the Republicans are going to have to play defense from now on. And whereas now I think the Democrats can use this more as a kind of a, I don't know, you know, like an offense, like using it, talking about women's rights and such like that.
Bludgeoning them with this. Yes, Ross, I think that's a great point. I mean, the Roe v. Wade, obviously, for all those years, the Republicans have taken over. We're freedom of choice. We're pro-life. No, you're not. You're anti-choice. And I think now that they've had, you know, be careful what you wish for, as Curtis said, now that they've got it, now they got to defend it. And obviously, as we have seen, most young women are not down with it.
844-967-2789. Let's check with Annie from Watertown, Wisconsin. Annie, what do you say, young lady?
Hi, Annie.
Well, you know, everybody is up, and, you know, turning on Stephanie Edge this morning and up. But Ron Johnson, Scott Fitzgerald, these are criminals. These are people who are criminals. And what the heck? You know, just send them back there.
Alleged criminals. Really, they haven't been convicted yet, Annie, and I'm not clear that they ever will be, quite frankly. In the annuals of history, I would hope these things are going to all come to light, Annie, and I hope historians judge our current representation and their actions and their conspiratorial actions around the January 6th. But Annie, you know, sadly, there ain't no charges. We can not like it. We can think they're criminals. I thought that former Scott, governor of the state of Wisconsin, Scott Walker, was a criminal because he kept breaking statute in a criminal fashion. But guess what? He never got charged. He never got convicted. Wayne.
Right, but that's where it comes down to the people being the judges more directly, you know, democracy, saying, hey, these people are involved. I mean, there's just certain things that they were doing that they didn't dispute. They, in fact, Ron Johnson said, well, only for a few seconds.
A couple hours, maybe. Annie, thank you for listening. I wish we could be judge, jury, an executioner, right?
Well, but we need an educated electorate, and unfortunately, in the state of Wisconsin, and certainly around the country, you know, the citizenry is bombarded by conservative talk radio. You mentioned it, Crudy, over and over again. How much Senator Ron Johnson spent, got free time? Come on, I mean, if you look at
300 interviews, 96 hours this year,
right? And if you don't hear a counterpoint, if you don't hear something else, if you don't hear reality, well, you might be inclined just to go that way because that's what you heard. You heard it on the radio, so it must be true. Well, when you listen to this show, you know damn well it is.
844-967-2789. Let's go back to the phones. Rico from Rock County. How's it going, Rico?
Hey, Rico.
Hey, good, you guys. Yeah, you got my best phrase there, Dom. Reality. Mm. What I'd like to see a little bit different this time around is they ran on crime in the economy, right? Well, crime here in Wisconsin, give me a break. I think we're in the top 10 amongst the nation as far as safer places to live. I think number 8 was where we came in.
You know what? Where we are spiking, though, Rico, domestic violence. Wisconsin has a lot of domestic murders, and I cannot tell you, but we are amongst the worst in the nation for that. I blame the weather.
Yeah, and I don't know if you can put enough police on the streets to stop domestic violence. That's not going to happen. My other issue was this: the economy. And I started asking people right towards the election, right before the election, the ones that I could get looking at reality. I says, let's look at reality. Yeah, gas is up, but let's look at jobs. And let's increasingly look at pay. When 2019-20, we had jobs that were $8, $9, and $10 an hour. Those jobs are now $12, $13, $14 an hour. And then we had jobs that were $15, $16 an hour in the manufacturing base. Those jobs are now paying $18, $19, and $20 an hour. We need to start running and say, is your life better like they like to do? You know what? I think if you do the math, that extra money that you're making in your paycheck will more than cover the gas.
Rico, thanks for listening, man. Down in Rock County, one of our favorite counties on the way to Illinois. Come back. More Devil's Advocates, many more of your phone calls. We're lining them up in the queue. Be patient. You could be next. 844-96-PARTY.
Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Kicking ass and taking names since the Wisconsin uprising. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, the last segment of this wonderful Monday. Thank you for listening. We'll get back to the phones right now at 844-967-2789. Al from Milwaukee, you are next. Welcome, Al. What do you got for us?
Hey, Al. How you been, man?
Good evening, Dom and Prudy. I'm doing good. The election and your statement about the blacks not voting in Milwaukee is not true. It's not true. It's about they're not voting if there's nobody to vote for. And they weren't convinced that Mandela could do the job. That was part of the problem.
Well, that's a fair enough assessment, Al, but they didn't turn out with sufficient numbers. They didn't increase the number. We actually saw a decline in the number of Milwaukee voters.
Because they didn't have anybody to vote for. In other words, the people that have been in office all this time have not addressed the issues of the black community. Even the people in Milwaukee, I'm talking about the common council, the county board, the sheriff, all these officials, we have a majority in the city of Milwaukee, and they're not addressing the black community. That is part of the problem.
Al, the people aren't
voting because there's nobody representing them.
Well, I mean, Mandela Barnes, the lieutenant governor, black from Milwaukee. I mean, if he's not the one to help address it, I mean, I don't know who's more of a person to do that. Al, let me ask you this: What are the issues?
I've known Mandela since he was 13 years old. I was coaching at Marshall High School when he was a student there.
And you don't think he'd be a better senator than Ron Johnson?
I didn't say that.
All right.
I voted for Mandela, and yeah. I know he would be better than anybody would. Crudy would be better than Ron Johnson. Hell, I'd vote for Crudy for president again. No, shit. I mean, but come on, man. I'm just saying.
I know what you're saying, and sometimes when you think of Crudy and higher elective office, it's flustering for just a moment.
It is. Al, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate your perspective. I do want to hear. Please continue to listen. The call is back. And I hear what you're saying. The numbers are down, no doubt about it. But you're right. I mean, we have new leadership in Milwaukee County. There should be a resurgence, as far as I'm concerned, of people engaged and involved now that we have kind of turned the corner in some ways. But you know, the numbers aren't proving that, Al. So please stick around and let us know. 844-967-2789.
I do it better.
Scott from Minnesota. Welcome. What do you got, Scott?
Go Vikings.
They can win no matter what. But tomorrow's announcement will be about Donald Trump, third party. And if there's enough interest, donation-wise, he may run in 24. It'll be the Lion Party.
The Lion Party. That would just blow up the GOP, Scott, wouldn't it?
Well, you know, as soon as he announces it, they quit funding his legal bills. Correct?
Well, that's what
they did tell him that, yes.
But, I mean, the guy's sitting on $100 million of other people's money already. I think he could utilize that to fund the legal bills. He doesn't need the RNCs. Just sticking it to the RNCs, Scott.
Because
they're cultists. Their whole party
is cultist. It's hard to indict a politician running for office.
No, it's not. So it's actually totally easy and totally legal, and you don't get a pass if you decide to, you know, put up a job application for somewhere, man. You know what I mean? He doesn't get any protections, and these are things that went on long before he's going to run for office. I mean, the wheels of justice turn slowly, Scott. So if it would be the case that someone could not be indicted simply because they decided to run for some
sort
of office.
I'd like to declare my candidacy, like Al suggested.
Yeah, right. Your Honor, 844-967-2789. Thanks for this call, Scott. Appreciate it. Dick from Madison, you're next. Welcome. What do you got for
us? Hey, Dick.
I'd like to buttress Tom's earlier call, and here's why. I know you said that, you know, people forget about this stuff and on and on. Here's the thing that's going on right now. All the things the Democrats did really haven't come to fruition yet. In other words, a lot of the stuff that Biden pushed through, they're going to start paying dividends in this next year and a half to 2 years. Everything.
Now, the infrastructure bill doesn't work right immediately, yeah. Dick, right?
Right, exactly what I'm saying. And so it lags a little bit behind. And then when these idiots are just, you know, like mercury on the floor, scattered all over, let's do this indictment, that one, all that nonsense, the Senate and Biden are going to continue to start, you know, delivering more. And this stuff is going to actually start happening in the next, year, 18 months. And I'm telling you, I totally agree with Tom's analysis on it.
Dick, I really appreciate that colorful analogy, like mercury scattering on the floor.
Right? It's a visual.
My only question about the Democrats, and I agree with you, Dick, we're going to see positive garnered benefits from already passed legislation. Will the Democrats actually claim credit and say this is the result of the legislation we passed? Are they going to run away from it like they did from the ACA, Obamacare? Like a decade later, they're finally getting around to claiming it. Well, too late now. It was an electoral landslide as they all got washed out for something that now is almost universally accepted as being a good thing. 844-967-2789. Universally accepted as a fairly good caller. Wisco Paul, welcome back. What do you got for us?
Hey, Paulie.
Hey, good afternoon, Devils. Great show as always. I don't understand not voting for Mandela because they're going to get zero. I repeat, zero for Ron Johnson. The second thing, I hope the Supreme Court justice, to me, that's the most important election coming down the pike.
Absolutely.
I sure hope they advertise on your station. I hope they advertise on your station, and with that, I'll let you go here. But it's a big one. Thanks.
Well, with my luck, Wisco Paul, it'll all be Dan Kelly dollars. Because, of course, it's a nonpartisan race. We've got Everett Mitchell, who's considered a liberal because he's not, you know, a Trumpian. Everett Mitchell is from Madison, and he's been on the show, Dom. And then, of course, we've got Judge Janet Protasiewicz, I believe, and Judge Janet. And we met her, or I met her, at the Democratic Party convention.
And Mitchell was on the show a few weeks ago.
She was being squired around by Rebecca Dowling, which is a pretty good company to keep. Current Justice Dowling. Really appreciate Bill Press coming around. Always a good friend of ours. Don't forget tomorrow, we welcome back Matt Flynn to this fine program. He was in a sabbatical, Dom. In your motherland, where is that? Sicily.
Forget about it.
Tell us all about it. He was like the godfather out there.
Hope you brought some cheese bag.
And his show will restart on Wednesday, but he joins us tomorrow at 4:30. Now, stick around. Native Roots Radio is next, and the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson at 7 across the Civic Media Network.